Yo, what's going on? It's your boy, Big Wavy Roy Johnson here.
Hello everyone, this is the interview queen, Alicia Tu.
This is the infamous Cameron Solis.
This is the professional Nathan Crew.
This is Veggie.
This is the Callahan Death Machine in withdrawal, and the face of Impact Wrestling, Sammy Callahan.
The one and only shot with Thunder Willie Mack.
This is Shreddy Breck, a.k.a. Mr. Clangin' and Bangin'.
And you're listening to...
You are listening to...
Broken But Glorious.
Broken But Glorious.
Broken But Glorious. Hey, yeah.
Hello, welcome to Broken But Glorious. I'm Chris Laffin, and I'd like to be joined on the line by Pyro. How are you doing this evening?
I'm good, thank you.
Yeah, how are you surviving lockdown?
Yeah, coping a little bit. It's getting to that point now where a few weeks off feels fine, and then it's starting to creep into that. This is getting a bit weird. Not wrestling, not putting on my boots. Strange.
Yeah, my phone keeps shouting at me because I'm doing like less than 1,000 steps a day when I'm meant to be doing like 10,000-12,000 steps a day.
It's one of those, isn't it? Trying to keep active and try and keep moving.
I keep forgetting to take the phone out when I take the dog out in the evening as well, so I probably do a bit more than 1,000 a day, but it's shouting at me. Have you been binging any series you could recommend for the listeners? Or...
Oh, geez. Netflix, we just watched one. What's it called? Too Hot to Handle, and it's like a load of people have to go a month without kissing or any touching feeling of each other, and so it's like a... It's like an exotic version of Love Island. It's good fun, though. It's good fun.
Is that like a documentary, or is it?
It's exactly like Love Island, but they've got to win money by not breaking the rules, basically. It's good fun.
All right. Sounds fun. All right, so a few friends of yours have sent questions in, so I'll sprinkle them in throughout the interview. So the first... Mad Dog Mike Angus wants to know your main masked wrestling inspirations were.
Ooh, okay. So when I first started watching wrestling, I was about 7. And I think this is when Rey Mysterio very first started with WWE. I think it was his first match against Kurt Angle. So Rey Mysterio is probably the biggest, as generic as that answer probably is. And I think the more as I got older and actually become a masked wrestler, I think it broadened a little bit. So like people like Ultimo Dragon and Psychosis and people like that, just they had different styles, different way of telling a story with their body language. And I looked more into people like that.
Yeah, I could see a lot of like early great Musa and Liger when I've seen you wrestle as well.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I'd say that the way they hold themselves is... It's distinctive and it's different, and I think when you have a mask on, you obviously can't show any facial expressions, so you need to effectively be able to connect with an audience with your arms, the way you hold yourself, and the way you move about, and that's what makes you stand out.
So what actually prompted you to don the tights and get in the ring in the first place?
I started from when I was watching wrestling at a younger age, and I think the very first time I watched it was like Hulk Hogan versus Ric Flair, and it was only 2002, so it wasn't like years and years ago, but it was like, just as like Attitude Era was stopping and Rufus the wrestling area sort of started. So I started watching it, and then I got really into it, and then I joined a wrestling school in 2006. I was 11 at the time. Because of how young I was, I didn't know, how real and whatever it was, and I think once I got into it, I just got hooked, and I've just done it ever since.
So was Rey Mysterio who you wanted to kind of mold your style around when you started training?
Believe it or not, I actually didn't have any interest in being a high flyer. which is so odd because it's all I do now. To be honest, the big inspirations were people like Taz. Taz was quite a big one when I was younger. The idea of being like a suplexer and a submission person, that was more the thing that I was training to do. And it just ended up, I was quite good at doing some flips, so I went a bit more sort of that way.
I could see that in your body shape. You are very, I'm saying you look like Taz.
Yeah, I get it quite a lot.
You're short and stocky, like, I think.
Yeah. And I think that I've on my Facebook, I'm nicknamed Taz because when I started training, people just sort of called me that because of how I was, which is, it's a great honor to be sort of nicknamed after someone like that, but it just didn't work out that way, I guess.
So when did the idea of this pirate character come about?
That was 2012. I had just started with Britannia Wrestling Promotions. I went to their training school. I didn't really have a character or a wrestler name to stick to. So the promoter, Steve Saxon, basically wanted someone to be under a mask and said that I fitted it quite well. And because it meant that I was going to get a booking, it meant that that was obviously what I was going to do. And it just sort of stuck from there, really. He came up with the name. I just had to find a mask and some gear and then find out what kind of moves I wanted to do.
Because at one point you were the Japanese sensation. So how long's the character evolved over the years?
So that sort of ended after it was probably about 2 years after the TNA British Boot Camp season two. So after that had ended, we sort of realised that we had to drop the Japanese part. And I think everyone was starting to get a lot smarter in terms of, you know, how real certain things are and real imports were coming over from Japan. So it kind of made more sense to sort of drop it and
I remember seeing you on posters saying the Japanese sensation.
That went on for about three or four years that I kept it going for.
So how's the character evolved since 2017?
So I think the main change, I've changed up my pace, I guess, a little bit. I used to be very slow, and then all of a sudden, like, flip a switch and go really fast, and then I'd go straight back down to being... Whereas now, I find that I start off slow, but then once I hit that high gear, I just stay there. I don't come back down. There's a lot more aggression in my character, and I think places like TNT, they've seen it more than most. And I think it's more like it's a hard-hitting sort of place, and you have to be able to go to sort of hang around there.
Harley Hudson asks, why every kid at meet and greets say Pyro is their favourite wrestler that's supposed to be their job?
So this was, I think this was Ellesmere Port. This is only a couple of months ago in the Civic Hall there, and there was loads of kids, and the kids are just drawn to the mask. I mean, that's probably one of the easiest things. As soon as you've got a mask on, kids easily resemble Sin Cara or Rey Mysterio, and it's a very likable sort of thing. You know, people don't know who's under the mask, and it's easy to give them sort of like the applause, I guess. But yeah, she comes to me after the meet and greets and said, why did every kid ask for you? But it's one of those things. I think that obviously they see some people and they're either very tall, and, you know, it can be quite intimidating for a kid to think, you know, oh, I want to go meet that person, and they're like 6.5 foot tall, whereas I'm obviously shorter than most kids, so I'm sure they don't mind it.
So you got quite a cool gimmick. So are you Black Pyro when you're a heel?
That was an idea from TNT. So they wanted a bit of a darker version of what I was doing, because most of the shows that I was doing were like holiday camps or very family-friendly shows. And when I first came to TNT, it was on the extreme shows, so the 18 and overs. So they wanted something a little bit darker. So there was just a name that was thrown out there, and we just sort of ran with it. It's gone really well. It's gone over really good, and it gives me a set sort of attire to wear, and it's a look, and it's a bit more distinctive than what I normally do.
Yeah, because you can see it in other cultures, because Venom's like the black version of Spider-Man, and even Hulk has a red version of him. So it's have the alter ego. It's quite cool.
You can flip it a little bit. You can go from one extreme to the other.
Yeah. Do you prefer working face or heel?
I think over the years, it becomes a point where you gain a bit more experience, and you quite enjoy being you enjoy being the heel, because you kind of get to do a bit more, you know, in the match. So you get to be a bit more like assertive in terms of what happens and what you're doing. I'm enjoying it at the minute, the way it's going. It's my first real time having a run as being a heel, so I think it's been a lot more enjoyable. It's different. And I think that's the part I'm enjoying the most.
Yeah, I interviewed it in Cameron Starlos just before your match in that TNT Edition series.
He said the
Ignition League. Yeah, and he's like, oh, I've had nine matches of Pyro and never beat him. And he's like the first match in the league, of course.
Yeah, we went. We were wrestling each other, I think, nearly every weekend at one point.
Yeah.
It was like every weekend we were somewhere else and we were wrestling each other. And it just happens that every time I was winning. But Cameron's a good guy. I've enjoyed, like, from when we first wrestled to what we wrestle like now. We can, you know, we can both really go. He's a great guy.
Yeah, he's improved so much over the last 18 months, 2 years, when I first saw
massively,
him.
Yeah, massively. I think I first seen him at Just Do Wrestling. This was some years ago now, and this, I think this was before he was even properly wrestling. But he's come on leaps and bounds, and he's got a proper look. He looks like a wrestler now, you know, with the gothic theme and the hair and stuff.
This is the infamous Cameron Solis, and you're listening to Broken But Glorious.
Yeah, so I interviewed Fantastic Matt Fox a while ago, and he discussed British Boot Camp. You're also part of season two. So let us know how you got involved with the series and your experience of the show.
I think everyone sort of had a different experience. And
yeah.
I think that it depended on who you were as you were going into it. I think they had like a layout of, well, this person's, you know, a high flyer, so we're going to make him run and jump around the ring and see how athletic he is. If you were a heavy set guy, they were going to make you do burpees and then cut a promo. I think they just had a set sort of regime of what they were going to do. I got the email to say that I'd been accepted. They wanted you to do like a promo video about yourself, and that was all you had to do. I don't remember sending, I didn't think I had to send much footage. I think I sent one promo and then the video of like an actual promo video about myself and why I should be involved. So I got accepted, and then when we went there, there was kind of like a schedule. So you had like a set slot time and everyone had to go on and then get out. And then the next, but it was like a rolling rotor of people going in and out. The room. There was some great guys. Sexy Kev was there, Matt Fox, and then obviously all the people that went through. So like Chris Travis, Rampage, Liguero. It was a great day, to be fair, to be backstage and chatting to everyone.
I was going to say, was it quite intimidating being around such huge British names, being so young? So I think you're only been wrestling like a year or two.
It was, yeah. I think I was 18 or 19 at the time, and I was still reasonably quite green, quite new to the business. So meeting Rampage and being around Liguero and Chris Travis and stuff like that, it was a great experience, because you could sit there and pick their heads all day of, you know, how to become a better wrestler and how to do things better. So it was great to have that sort of amount of knowledge that was backstage, really. When I went on, it got sort of, it's a hard one, really. You can't decide whether they were trying to just make entertainment like television, or if they just generally, if they wanted to put people over for who they were. So like before I went on, they got me to take my mask off, which meant that I went on screen completely unmasked. First time that I'd done it. So it was Mike Tenay and Rockstar Spud. They were the two people before you got on camera. They were like the people you spoke to before you went on. And I think Liguero had literally just been on before me. And at the time, he was Mexican and he didn't speak. So obviously at the time, I was Japanese and didn't speak. So Mike Tenay basically said, you've got 20 seconds before you go on. Liguero has just gone on, not spoke. Wears a mask, you're going to look exactly like him and he's going to get picked over you. So it's up to you. Do you want to take the mask off now? And because of I think it's a pressure more than anything, they kind of made me feel like I was going to get nowhere if I went on the way I was. And it's one of those moments where it's like a lesson learned. I should have just kept to, you know, what I know, and should have just gone out there. But I took my mask off, went out there and was completely unaware of what was about to happen. Obviously they asked the question of what my name was. And I said, Japanese sensation. And then obviously they said the whole, you know, well, you're obviously not Japanese. So I think in a way, if they wanted to build wrestlers up, what they should have done was cut that out and say, listen, we can tell you you're not Japanese, you know, you need to redo that bit. And I think everyone was feeling the confusion of whether you were meant to go on camera as a character, because it was, you know, on TV, or whether you were supposed to treat it like an interview and go out there and, you know, talk about your character. Because you had Crater, so Cyanide, So he went on and he made his entrance like a monster, doing the whole thing with his arms and roaring and stuff. And then the second they asked his name, he just broke kayfabe and said, "My name's Alex." So it kind of put everyone in like a moment of confusion of, you know, are we supposed to be in character? What are we, you know, what are we supposed to do, sort of thing?
Yeah. So you got through to the second round, so you must have saw something in you.
Yeah, I think they had a rough idea of, so I think they had like six people that they knew for sure were going to go through. And then I think they had two slots open for anyone that was sort of like, you know, a surprise that they didn't expect to do as well as they did. On our particular one, we had two females, Lana Austin and Melody, I believe it was, yes, from GPW. And I think they'd got, because they got put on the spot with doing some wrestling, and Gail Kim basically kicked them out on the spot. And it made the show go a little bit awkward, because it meant that we had to stop filming. They had to get moved out of the room, and then we had to go back through the drills and stuff that we were doing. Because we'd got through, it was really intense, because Gail Kim basically stormed the ring and said, "You two need to get out right now." And obviously Lana Austin now is, you know, she's come on leaps and bounds.
She's amazing.
First time. Yeah, she's really good. I wrestled her in, I think it must have been about her third ever wrestling match. And we did like a loser has to wear a dress or she has to go on a date with me sort of thing.
Oh, wow.
I know, yeah. And I think that from when she was then to what she is now, she's come on so, so much. She's got an actual, you know, character about her, and she's come on massively.
Yeah, I saw her at the WrestleMedia Con. It was Impact versus Brit Wrestling. They had Lana Austin versus Sue Young in a match.
Oh, yeah, of course. That's crazy. She's come on massively.
Yeah, she's brilliant. So did that experience help you get more bookings? Because, you know, promoters love to write as seen on.
Yeah, because of the situation with the mask, it did and it didn't. I had people sort of contact me and ask if I was still wearing the mask. I had people contact me asking, you know, sort of like, was I happy to go on without the mask? And because the company that originally gave me the mask, they wanted me to keep on going the way I was. I wasn't ready to just sort of take it off and pretend it never happened, sort of thing. So we kept it going for a little bit, but it just sort of, I think it died down pretty quick. Because it all felt like it was over too soon. Like, they did the initial sort of tryout phase, and then it was kind of like quarterfinals, semifinals, and then the final within a couple of weeks. So I think the main issue was it was over a bit too quick. But yeah, the posters were advertised as seen on TNA British Bootcamp and stuff for quite a while.
Yeah. The whole series just seemed to be a vehicle to get Grado over. That's from what I remember. It was Grado versus Elsa.
Yeah, Grado appeared at the Manchester tryouts, which is where I was, and it was just to do his little skit where Grado walks in and says, you know, "I deserve to be through," and sort of thing. So I think that was like a side angle where they wanted to keep people entertained, as if it wasn't just a case of wrestlers go on and wrestlers either get through or they don't. They needed someone that looked like someone who's been pushed to the side but deserves a bit of, you know, attention, I guess. But Grado's great. You know, Grado's he's a smart guy. You know, he knows how to wrestle, and he's got a good thing going.
Ahoy, scallywags around the world, and this is the Pirate Prince, Joey Marcus, the natural born scallywag, and you are listening to Broken but Glorious.
I interviewed one of your students earlier today, Joey Marcus. He asked if you're missing your sessions with him.
Oh yeah. Do you know what, when I very first met him, he was so quiet and so like he wanted to always come across as very serious. He would always shake your hand and be like, you know, nice to see you and stuff. And then now he's a jokester, and he's a really lovely, fun guy to be around. And he puts so much effort into training. Between him and Matthew Douglas, I can't rate them enough. They're definitely going to be. They're up and coming, you know. They're going to be going on to bigger and better places and stuff. And they do Squared Circle Academy with Marty Jones and Wrestle Island. They're doing great there. So I've definitely got high hopes for them, and I can't wait to get back to training them, to be honest.
I can't wait to see them wrestle at Wrestle Island. They're just at the moment they're just sitting in the crowd, just and then interfering in matches.
Yeah,
and they get
yeah.
so hated. So once they get in the ring, it's gonna be.
That's the thing. It just makes it easier for when they do get out there because the crowd already know who they are, which you know it's exactly what they want. It's an ideal situation.
Yeah. So how did you get involved in the training side of things?
So when I started the pyro gimmick in 2013, 2014, there wasn't really a regular trainer at the time for Britannia because it was originally Dylan Roberts, who's also one of the most underrated wrestlers of the UK by far.
He's somebody I want to see live. I haven't seen him live yet. I've seen him on the tapes I've seen of Britannia, but I've not seen him live yet.
Oh, he's great. He knows the business. He's got such a great mind for the business, and he's very underappreciated in terms of like bookings and where he's been. GPW, he's always been there. He's just never been pushed anywhere else. And it's a crime, you know. And it's one of those things that there's loads of guys that kind of go underappreciated in the UK, and he's definitely one of them. But he was the original trainer at Britannia, and then I think his job sort of changed. He became a paramedic, so he no longer could commit to it. So I got asked if I'd take it, so I took the training from then, and that was 2014, I believe. So I was very young to be training people. Because of the people that had trained me over the years, it kind of got to the point where I knew at least more than the trainees that were there, so that was, you know, valued. But yeah, we had people like Nixon Newell, you know, Tegan Knox from
Bruce. Oh, wow, yeah.
She'd come there to train. There's people from like RWA and places like that, and Kev Lloyd, Sexy Kev, he'd come over as well. So yeah, seen a lot of guys over the time. And then when my job changed, that meant that I couldn't train there anymore. And then only recently, my job changed again. So it meant that I've got the free time to train.
All right. So what advice would you give somebody wanting to get into the business?
I think the biggest thing that you could do is to just travel about. It's not so... Years ago, it used to be a big thing of if you went to a training school, you were supposed to stay just at that training school. But now it's all about, you know, the connections. You need to go out and make connections with promotions and different training schools. You need to get out there and try and learn as much as you can, and just try and grow, you know, try and take a bit from everywhere that you go. Go to people that are, you know, old school, go to places that are more new school, go to, you know, different sort of promo classes. And there's so much out there now that, you know, the world is sort of at everyone's feet with this sort of day and age.
So I think I've come up with like a fun question to finish on. So when we saw you at TNT Ignition about 2 months ago, my 4-year-old said that you looked a bit like a Power Ranger, which got me thinking about a question. So Rita Repulsa and her goons challenged you and the Power Rangers made up of British wrestlers to a 5-on-5 Survivor Series match. If I give you a colour, you tell me which wrestler will be that ranger. We'll go with the classic 5 Rangers when I was a kid. So firstly, which colour would you be?
Oh, so like I think when I was younger, my favourite was probably the White Ranger, which was Jason David Frank. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I'd be the White Ranger. 100%. Yeah.
All right. So he would be the Red Ranger, so he's usually the leader.
Competing with you for the leader. It's up there. So I think the red Ranger would probably have to be Joey Hayes. He's very underappreciated, and he's a great wrestler. He is so intelligent when it comes to, you know, putting a match together and crowds and everything. He's great.
Black Ranger is usually the cool one or the hot-headed one, depending on what series you watch.
So. Ooh, a hot-headed one. Oh, who could that be? I reckon I'd have to go with Dan Evans. I think he's definitely got that about him.
My girlfriend's slightly obsessed with him on Instagram because he just talks about Disney all the time and how much he loves Disney and how he goes to Disneyland with his mum. So she says,
"Oh God!"
Because because he's in the Murder Squad, he looks dead hard when we go to watch him wrestle. But and on Instagram, it's just constantly talking about Disney and how much he loves it.
Oh, he's a major sweetheart in person. Honestly, he's completely different.
Blue Ranger's usually the geeky one.
Oh, a geeky one. I'd say that has to be Cameron Solis.
Yes, that's right.
The gaming room that he's got is just incredible.
I thought you either go Cameron or you're going to go Henry Grodd on that one because they're both the biggest geeks.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, you are right there. Henry as well. He's again, underrated, especially for the amount of time he's been doing it. He's a good worker.
Yeah, Marlon, we talked about Star Trek for an hour. I think we talked about wrestling for about 20 minutes.
Just so easy to go off topic.
Yeah. It's a Yellow Ranger. It's usually a girl with a strong personality or a tomboy.
Ooh, I'd say Harley Hudson, because she's got that sort of look about her. You know, she's different. She's got the short hair and the colourful. Yeah, definitely go for that one.
Cool. And then Pink is usually a cheerful, high-spirited girly girl.
Ooh. It's hard to see some of those about these days. God. Who could I think of? I go for Lana.
Yes. Okay. Cool. This is where I'd usually ask, where will people see you in the near future? But have you got any plans to keep yourself and your fans happy online or anything?
I've sort of been pretty quiet recently with footage or posting anything. My aim is to try and get like a highlight reel put together, and just the idea is that obviously if you're putting loads out there, people are just gonna want to see wrestling again, and obviously at the minute no one knows when that's gonna be. So I think that quite a lot of wrestlers are being quite quiet at the minute because we just don't know when the next sort of time's going to be. You might see me in one of those Don't Rush challenges. That hasn't happened yet, but it might happen soon.
Oh, my little four-year-old's loved all them Don't Rush challenges. He's missed WrestleMania so much that he's created wrestlers on 2K13. So we've got wrestler. He's created like Cameron and Lance Rivera, Sugar Dunkerton, all his favourites from Wrestle Island, and he just does little matches. And
This is the thing now, everyone's trying to, you know, it's making sure the wrestling stays relevant. And, you know, obviously at the minute, only sort of WWE and AEW, the only ones that are still, you know, still going. So it's hard, you know, not to have the amount of content.
Essential services.
I know, yeah, it's crazy. But, you know, they're still making a living, trying to keep people entertained, aren't they? They're doing their thing.
So, before we go, do you want to promote your social media?
What's that, sorry?
Yeah, do you want to promote your social media?
Yeah, you can follow me. The main thing I use is Instagram, and it's my real name. Kayfabe is just gone. It's a waste on me. But it's @A_Pownell23. You'll see loads of videos posted on there of different shows that I've done over the years. And obviously, when we get back to normal, I always post upcoming shows through Instagram. I'm not a fan of Twitter. I'm just not I'm not as switched on with most people when it comes to using that stuff.
Cool. Well, I'll put the links in the description.
Yeah, super. That'd be great.
So I've really enjoyed speaking today. I'd love to have you on again in the future when wrestling's back.
When we're back to normal, when we're back to actually wrestling.
Yeah. Is there any chance you could do like a quick promo or something? Along the lines of this is Pyro and you're listening to Broken But Glorious, but wrestle it up a bit.
yeah, of course, yeah. Okay.
Thank you. That was really fun, buddy. I'll let you know when it's coming out. I'm not sure. I've just done lots of interviews and I don't know when I'm gonna release them, to be honest.
That's cool. Just let us know. It's good to have a backlog of stuff.
The plan is just whilst everyone's off doing stuff, we might as well waste half of the
that's it.
It'll probably be back in May, to be honest, I think.
Yeah, that'd be excellent. Super.
Okay. I'll let you know. So, brilliant, thank you. So, I'll speak to you again soon.
Do it again. Thank you. Okay.